Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and this is a location where we talk about the real issues that men face. We're all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We've been given the opportunity of being able to put this radio station together to be able to reach those who are need encouragement, those who need hope, and those who are tired of living the way they've been living. And brother, I pray that you'll be able to hear something today that will just give you that little bit that you need to be able to head down that path that you know leads to fulfillment, joy, and peace. And I can tell you this, it points toward Jesus. In the studio today, I've got Steve with me this morning. Good to have you this morning, brother.
Good morning, Raul.
And later today on our main topic, we're going to be talking about trials, temptations, according to the book of James. You know, he's the oldest brother, I believe, of all of Jesus' brothers. He had like, I think, about four of them, and he's the oldest one. But anyway, we're going to talk about that in the main topic. But in the meantime, we give opportunity to you who are listening to be able to send in an email to us so that we would answer anonymously. And that we'd answer through our own experiences and through what we believe the Bible says. But also, too, if you want to send something in, you can send it to help at bandofbrothersradio.com. And today I know that Steve has been just sort of inundated with a few emails that seem to have the same taste or flavor to them, right?
Well, there's definitely a theme here, Raul, and I'm very torn. I'd like to address all of these because they all beg for an answer. And there's one here with a brother who is in a custody fight with his wife over his two children, and we're going to answer that one on Friday.
Okay.
It's an important issue. It's a critical issue. There are some insights that I really feel like we should address. But I'm going to go with this one this morning. And while this may not apply specifically to every husband and wife, I think the principles here can make application. This brother writes, "I'm thinking that God might want me to be a pastor. My wife doesn't think that I should attend seminary because she's afraid that we won't be able to make it financially. We can make it if she keeps working and we postpone having children for a few years. She hates that idea. She wants children right now. By the way, I am 24 and she is 25. I feel like there are lots of years left for her to have children. How do I balance God's call on my life against making my wife happy? Is this a case where she needs to submit to me as the leader in our home?" Well, brother, you want to take a swing at that? It's a fastball.
It's a fastball, but you know what? This is spring training, so you got to, you know, if I kind of just miss one or two here, but you know what?
You know what, my friend? There is no spring training in life. Every day is the real game.
That is so true. That is so true. Well, in season and out of season, always be prepared. If this brother were coming up to me, I'd say, hey, I appreciate first the fact that you're actually coming forward and saying, hey, this is a challenge of mine. I believe I've got a calling on my heart, and I want to follow what Jesus wants me to do. And yet I want to be able to, I love my wife, and I know that we are here together for a purpose and a reason, but I am challenged here. You know, I would like to think that you, if you are doing things as the Bible states, that you are actually seeking assistance through other men, men who have been down this road, other pastors who have actually maybe have experienced the same challenges that you have. If you have not, I would go that direction, and I would go to them and ask their advice, their experiences, and then have them pray for you also. I'd like to think that you probably have had those praying for you, because this is when I hear of what God lays on my heart, I have men that surround me that I trust them completely. I let them know, this is what God, I believe, is laying on my heart. I want you to pray about it. I want you to let me know what you think about it. And I want you to let me know if you hear or feel something different other than what I've shared with you. I think at that point, then all of a sudden, I'm heading down the right path of what God has in store for me. Because you know what? God does not only speak to you. He'll speak to those that you ask to come to him, because he'll speak to them also. The other thing I want to just say is I you know, I think it's great that you're sitting here and saying, you know what, I believe God's calling me on this. I'm a youthful age of 24, and you're fired up about that already. Otherwise, you would not even consider this. But I know that God has a plan for you and your family, including your wife, of course. Now, she is your helpmate, okay? Now, when we talk about submission, you know, one of the things that is so important, at least for me, that I end up realizing is that for me to submit, or in this case here, where you're asking her to submit to you as the head of the household, that's something that, yes, as the man of the house, as the husband, okay, yes, you are the head. But, brother, let's not take it to that place where all of a sudden her input does not relegate anything or mean anything. Because you know what? God created her also for a purpose, okay? And that might be to be able to help you be able to see maybe other ways of looking at things. Now, I know that there are ways of being able to get a degree even online. You could do it part-time. You could do it even as a result of working full-time and having a family. There are a lot of pastors out there, I believe, that have done that sort of thing. I know a couple of them myself. I have not, so I can't share that experience. But I know this, that if you seek the counsel of those of the wise, those who have been there before, that you will end up receiving probably some gems and sitting there and going, man, you don't have to carry this weight alone. That's one of the cool things about fellowship, is that you don't have to carry that yourself. You can pass that on to someone else, and they don't necessarily carry it, but they lift it. And all of a sudden, your burden is lightened up. So there you go, brother. There's my 2 cents worth.
Well, I think that's good input. There's some principles here that we can make application of. The first principle is that the place of agreement is always the place of power. And as this couple goes forward in their lives, I can say without reservation that it's absolutely God's will that they find the place of agreement. And in that place of agreement, they'll be able to face the challenges regardless of what direction they go vocationally. This brother, there's a couple of things here that, and we don't know them personally, we don't know their situation, but when he asked the question, is this a case where she needs to submit to me as the leader of our home, that's the wrong question. The real question is, what is it that God wants to do in our lives? He is the leader, but as the leader, Jesus said, he who is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all.
Yes.
And what every man needs to know, as much as men resist this, but God uses a man's wife to give him wise counsel.
Yes.
And if she's got the brakes on over his vocational direction, she, more than anyone else, probably discerns areas in his life that are immature or unprepared or unrealistic, and he's asking her to put her life on hold while he goes off to fulfill what he senses is his sense of calling. Well, put the brakes on, because at 24, you've got a lifetime to become a pastor.
Yes.
When they got married, they probably got married with a specific direction in mind, with a view towards children, and he needs to be very sensitive sometimes as men, we get excited, and our wives, we get excited, and we think we're always going to be excited, but our wives have lived with us long enough to know, oh, yeah, he's excited today, but about 3 months down the road, he's going to be off on something else. Mm-hmm. And so when they talk about the family and having children and life direction, those are things that last a lifetime. Careers and vocations don't. Now, if God has called this brother and put the fire of the Spirit in his heart so that he knows that he knows that he knows that he has been called to shepherd and care for God's people, then he can surrender his life towards God. And as you said, there are many pathways to get there. But if he's just looking at the ministry vocationally, then that's a whole other proposition. In fact, that's a pathway that leads to great disappointment. I will tell you, Raul, I was a young man. I was unsaved. Jesus came into my heart. I was born again. About 6 months after I was born again, I knew in my heart that God was calling me to be a pastor. Now, this is back before anybody even knew what a computer was. But I cleared out a little room in my basement, and I ordered, as you mentioned, a correspondence course from the denomination that I happened to be associated with, and I spent a few years alone in private preparing myself for the day when God would open a door for me to go and pastor a church. So this brother needs to understand that his wife is not his obstacle, that she is placed there by God. He needs to listen to her wise counsel, be sensitive to her, find the place of agreement, and then there will be power to do God's will.
Wow. Well, brother, I hope that you received something there. There's an awful lot that came at you this morning. And as Steve said to me, that this is the real deal. There is no spring training in this one here. So when we get back from our break, we're going to delve right into the book of James on a few, maybe some ideas that you may have had about it and maybe you haven't had. Stay tuned to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one of a kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at cascademonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I have Steve in the house with me today, and we're heading down a path here in the book of James. I got to tell you a quick little story about the book of James and what it means to me. I myself, as some of you have known I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I have, by the grace of God, this is by the grace of God, not a boasting for Raul, that back in December I celebrated 31 years of clean and sober, and I've been given the opportunity of being able to assist and help men in that recovery path, and I get even more opportunity of being able to share that with even more men about the recovery path that Jesus lays out for us, and that's part of what we're doing here on the show. But I wanted to let you know that this ministry that he has given me actually started out as a Bible study in my apartment, as a matter of fact. God laid on my heart as a youthful Christian, okay, youthful in not age, but in years of walking with him in his word, that I was to start a Bible study with some men that I gathered together with at breakfast time. And these guys were all in recovery with me. And I tell you what, here's what is really ironic is that God laid on my heart that I was supposed to tell these guys that I'm going to have a Bible study at my home. And they, not even knowing that none of us talked about Jesus or the Bible or anything, we talked about recovery and our work and what we're doing, not drinking one day at a time, which is all good stuff. It's all good stuff. But when I threw this out that morning at breakfast, all these guys, their jaw just fell right to the table. Like, what is he talking about? And I truly was not sure what I was talking about other than I said, hey, I'm just going to have a Bible study at my home and like for you guys to show up next week and et cetera, et cetera. I know that you all have mentioned that you either have a Bible or you're a Christian or you go to church. And so I just take it you all have a Bible. So I'd appreciate it. They all showed up. But prior to that meeting, I'll never forget, I was sitting there. I was going, what am I doing? I have no idea what I'm supposed to be talking about or reading, because I was raised a Catholic. The only thing that I knew growing up were the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I didn't even know everything about those. I just knew those four. That was it. But I remember a gentleman telling me that was a follower of Jesus Christ who was in the program that I was involved in. And he said to me, he said, hey, Raul, you should check out the book of James. It's in the New Testament. I know you don't like to read, because I did not. I just did not like to read. I'd fall asleep reading, which is in some cases good, in some cases not good. But he told me, he said, the book of James, you'll love it. You'll be able to relate with it, and it's not very long. So it is about five chapters long. I think the book of James is is very important to me. And when my brother Steve said, hey, we're going to get into that, here we go, brother. So have at her.
Well, Raul, I believe that James is really a book for men.
Yes.
And obviously it's the Word of God, and it applies to men, women, teenagers, boys, and girls alike. But in terms of being a man's kind of book, I love the book of James. I'd like to read the few verses here, and then we'll get into it. Beginning chapter 1 with verse 2, the Bible says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created. Now, in this passage, here at the beginning of the book of James, James begins by greeting the brothers and sisters, and then immediately he gives us this section, which we just read, that has to do with trials and temptations. Mm-hmm. And he's making it clear it doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're a new believer or a mature believer, everybody is going to go through trials. So, Raoul, if you look at verse 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Mm. So, as a leader of men and as the director of the Band of Brothers ministry, I know that you have people coming to you all the time, just as we see in these emails, mm-hmm. with severe trials.
Right.
How do you communicate to them that they should consider this pure joy?
Well, one is that I get the opportunity of being able to be transparent and share with them my experiences. And that's what I love about fellowship with men when it comes to this sort of thing. I get the opportunity in a short period of time, because I don't like to take a... I mean, I've got a lot of stories, and you know me. You just ask me one question, you're going to have to probably cut me off. But anyway, the point being is that I get the opportunity of being able to show where I have been in that darkness and challenges that were in my life even before. You know, even after coming into the light a little bit, still sort of thinking, well, I'll just kind of coast here. I don't need to make one decision one way or the other. I do know I want Jesus in my life. But all of a sudden, where is that pure joy? Why should I be joyful? Because of what I have experienced. Hindsight is always 20/20, right? So I get the opportunity of looking back in my life when I did look back and I did follow Jesus. I did obey. I did do the things that were asked of me to be free of those challenges. Then I let them know with a lot of exuberance and excitement that this is what happened and this is how my life changed better than it ever had been before. And as a result of that, now I know that when trials come up, I can look at it as opportunities to be able to get out of where I'm at and the challenges are taking place.
So what you're saying is that you've been through some deep water. And I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm in deep water, I don't find it a particularly joyous experience.
Right. Especially if you don't have a flotation device.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're struggling to survive. You're hanging on. But what you're telling me is that out of your own life experience, you recognize that on the other side of those severe trials, there's great joy. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly.
Because
yeah.
you see the hand of God. Now, I want to take this just a little bit deeper this morning and look at that very first word in verse 2 where he says, consider it. Hmm. So I understand what you're saying, and I've had the same experience, and I think most of us have. We've gone through dark, difficult, testing, trying times, come out on the other side, and then we're able to look back and we're able to see, wow, God was at work. But what's interesting to me about this passage right here at the beginning, and it sets the tone for the whole book, is James isn't saying, hey, trust me, it's going to be joy when you get on the other side. He's saying to us right in the middle of the trial, consider it pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
How do I consider it pure joy in the midst of the trial?
Exactly. Because, well, I mean, basically what he's saying, listen, brothers, you're in the fire. And even though it's hot and it's painful and it's difficult, even while you're in the fire, consider it. Consider it pure joy. Not, I promise you, I'm going to give you joy later.
Right.
He's saying right now, in the midst of this, consider it pure joy. Does that make any sense?
It makes sense to me because of the simple fact that as I'm going through this, knowing and believing, okay, James comes in, of course, after all Jesus has been on this earth and he left, okay? He has died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And believing him and knowing that he loves me, that he died for me, and there's purpose for me, that when I go through these challenges, I'm being strengthened, I'm being refined. There is purpose for them. I just need to sometimes pause or maybe sometimes to have someone around me to remind me that, hey, he loves you. Keep persevering, keep going through, because this is joyful. So in a sense, I believe I'm answering your question.
Well, you just said the key words, knowing and believing.
Yes.
So basically then, what I just heard you say and what I think James is communicating right here at the outset is there are going to be moments of severe trials.
Yes.
Doesn't matter whether you're rich, doesn't matter whether you're poor. there are going to be moments of severe trials. And what he's saying, and you just said it, is knowing and believing that even in the midst of the trial, while it still hurts, he's saying, consider it pure joy. Now, let me break this down a little bit. So, you know, we've all heard people say, if you change the way you think, you'll change the way you feel, and that'll change the way you act. And that's true. If you could change the way you think, it would make a difference in how you feel, and that would make a difference in how you act. And it'd be wonderful if it was that easy. Because, I mean, all we'd have to do is be positive thinkers, and the world would be a perfect place. Mm-hmm. But where do our thoughts come from? Well, our thoughts come from a deeper level. They spring out of what we believe. Mm-hmm. They spring out of what we know deep down in our being. And you just said this. And what James is communicating, he's saying, even when you're in the midst of trial, consider it. In other words, it's painful, it's problematic, but consider it pure joy. Mm-hmm. Because God's doing something in this situation. You may not understand it. You may not know why you're going through it. You may not know why you have to experience it. You may not be able to see the end of it. But he's saying right here at the outset, and the book of James is really a book of faith. Mm-hmm. It's a book about trusting God so much that we begin to act in a certain pattern of living with surrender towards God. And so right here at the beginning, in that fiery moment, he's saying, reach down deeply to what you believe. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't believe that God is for you today, if you don't believe that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, if you don't believe that all things work together for good to them who love God, if you don't believe that Jesus loves you, he's showing you his favor, he has his hand upon your life, if you don't believe that God's ultimately in control of everything that happens, that when you go through a trial, it won't be pure joy.
Not at all.
But if you believe that, because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. So this is being a follower of Jesus Christ means surrendering our lives to him. It's not about keeping a list of rules.
Right.
It's not about attending the right church services or having the right degrees or whatever. Following Jesus Christ is a life of surrender. Lord, my life belongs to you today. So even if I go through the trial, James is saying to us, consider it pure joy. Right. Now, I got to tell you, I haven't quite got that down yet. I'm still prone to complain and look at circumstance and situation, but God's calling us to rise up to a higher level and say, even in the midst of the trial, mm-hmm. it's joy.
And you know what? That is such a big part of what actually keeps us coming back. You know, as a result of going through those experiences and seeing that you come out the other side, I'm going to tell you something, that the enemy actually tries to remind us how fearful it is to be able to go through some of this stuff, that we become so fearful that we don't even attempt to. Everything I've ever gone through, brother, everything that I consciously can remember ever going through where fear was the one that was keeping me from doing it, when I actually had enough courage to walk through that fear, it was never as big as what I thought it was going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And James goes on to say that the testing of your faith, and that's what's being tested. When we're in the trial, it's our faith that's being tested. But it's being tested so that it may become mature, so that we may be mature and not lack anything. So God allows us to go, you know, it's just like the earthquake in Japan this past week. I promise you that not only were there non-followers of Christ that experienced that, but there were followers of Jesus Christ who were caught up in the tsunami, who felt the earth shake, who saw their homes devastated. We're living in a real world, and we experience what other people experience. The difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is the Christian knows that there is a God enthroned in the heavens and that the kingdom of God is within us.
Yes.
And that this world is not our home. We're passing through. Mm-hmm. We're on a journey. And what's going to remain is all going to be born out of God's grace, and it's going to come to us through faith. And so God's maturing us along the way. So ultimately, we can and will love him to a greater degree with all of our hearts, with all of our lives. So we pass through the fire, but in the midst of it, the scripture says, don't doubt. Don't waver. Don't be like the wave on the sea. Don't give in. And you know, and I want to say that to every man that's facing a strong trial or going through a temptation, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, where that comes from. But don't waver. Just don't. Sometimes we buy into the lie that if we follow Jesus, everything in life will be easy. That is a humanistic approach that really has nothing to do with the deep truths of the Word of God. We are going to be tested. We are going to be tried. And in the midst of it, we have the opportunity to reach deeply down into what we believe. And you know, when you see a brother who loves God going through a trial and somebody who doesn't know God going through a trial, what's the difference? The joy, the pure joy that flows out of that brother's life as he trusts God.
When we come back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit about, let's find out whether we're double-minded or unstable. I think those are both in the same boat. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super-fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. The business class wireless broadband packages offered by StarTouch provide speeds incredibly faster than T1 speeds, from 3 megabytes per second up to 1,000 megabytes. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and I'm over here rocking. I'm sitting there just going, oh my. This last weekend was in our city, Bellingham, Washington. They had a St. Patrick's Day parade, and we have a go to our website, bellinghambob.org, and you can check out some pictures there of the Soul Bus that we have. And that song you just heard is our theme song when we do parades, and because it is very appropriate for everything that we do here. It's we are soul men on the Soul Bus. But anyway, we are actually in the book of James, and, you know, we're talking about, hey, man, we're just chewing it up, and I love being able to get into this book, and I agree with what Steve had mentioned, that this is a book for men, in a sense, and not saying that women shouldn't read it. That's not what I'm saying, but this really just hits right in directly between the eyes, man. This hits us, man, and lets us know. I tell you this, as I have been in the past, and probably more recent than I would want to admit, that I have been at times unstable and double-minded myself.
Well, it happens to us, and that's the challenge. It's always important. You know, one of the things about the book of James is Martin Luther, who was, defined as one of the historical theologians that changed the course of history, he raised the question. He felt somewhat strongly that the book of James shouldn't even been included in the Bible, because he was all about grace, And as we're going to see as we get into this, James makes it clear that, hey, faith is an awesome thing, but if your faith isn't showing some forth of bringing forth some kind of fruit, then as far as I'm concerned, James says, your faith is dead.
Right.
It doesn't have any life in it. But we struggle with being double-minded, but the underlying this is that we're saved by grace through faith and that our hearts are transformed. God says, I'll take the heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. In Corinthians, he said, you know, once I wrote, the law was written on tables of stone, but now the law of God is written on the soft, fleshly tablets of the heart. And so it's about having a new heart. And you know, people who fall into the religious trap think it's about rules and regulations. And, you know, they feel like if they can get all the facts right, that God will be on their side.
Right.
And that's not even the right question. The question isn't whether God is on our side. The real question is, am I on God's side? Mm-hmm. That's the real question. Mm-hmm. Whatever the Lord is doing, am I on his side? And so it's about what flows out of our hearts. And what James is challenging us here, he's saying, listen, in the midst of trial, reach out to God. And wisdom, here's a definition for wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view.
Hmm.
I'm going to say that again. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view.
Hmm.
And when I'm in a fiery trial, I don't want to look at it through the lens of my own personal experience. I'll draw the wrong conclusions. I need to see it from God's point of view. And James is saying, listen, when you're in that trial, ask God. He will give freely. But when you ask, don't doubt. In other words, trust God. This is still all by faith. Because if you're double-minded, you're going to be pushed here and you're going to be pushed there. Your sense of life direction, your leadership in your family, your interaction with your brothers, you're going to be all over the page. So don't be surprised, is what he's saying, that you're in a trial.
Right.
And, you know, there's another part of this, Raoul. Don't be judgmental when you see somebody else in a trial.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause don't we do that sometimes? We say, well, you know, that brother's really got it coming. Or if he'd just do this, 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 and this, he wouldn't be going through that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we set ourselves up as judges. And let me tell you this. You're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready to go into your
trial.
That's
right.
That's the way it works.
That is true.
That is the way it works. So don't be double-minded. Don't be unstable, but instead be humble. But here's verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Mm. Key words there. God has promised to those who love him. And so here's my question for every man, for every woman. Do you really love God?
You know, that is that goes right to the depth, to the very bottom of what it's all about. You know, I think when you had just mentioned that, what comes to mind is my idea of when I read about how Jesus collected his disciples. When he went to the men at the boat, he says, come follow me. He wanted them to drop the nets and come follow, and some of them did. And there were those who actually told Jesus, you know, I'll come follow you, but let me go take care of business first. Let me get a few things in order at home and everywhere else and in my life, and then I'll come follow you, type of thing. But that's not what Jesus wanted. He wanted, said, hey, I want you all right now. Just drop everything right now. And in a sense, that is true love.
Yep.
Because I'm truly trusting him completely.
That's right. You know, and the scripture says the Lord our God is one God.
Yes.
Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And it begins in the heart. So Christianity is a right relationship with God, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. He has brought us into this rightness
right.
by changing our hearts.
Right.
And, you know, love God. And so go and do anything you want that reflects love towards God. That's the new law. Mm-hmm. It's really simple.
Right.
If it doesn't reflect love towards God, then it's out of bounds. But anything that reflects love towards God and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, the Bible says there's no law against these things. As a Christian, go and love all you want. Go and be as gentle as you can possibly be. Go and show all the kindness you want. There's no limit to what you can do in the things that bring glory to God. But in these other areas, they're not in the kingdom of God. And if you love God, that means taking your old nature and putting it to death every day so that the new nature can live. I was reading through Matthew the other day, and I came upon this scripture that we're all familiar with, where Jesus said, "I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Mm-hmm. Now, men have beaten themselves up with this passage. They've been beaten up. If you want to guilt out a group of men, just preach on this, because you're gonna send every man's eyes to the floor, his shoulders into a slump, and beat him down severely. The only people that won't be true of are those who are lying to themselves and lying to others. But think about this. Jesus said, if you look lustfully at a woman, if any man does that, he's already committed adultery in his heart. What we think is that that look makes a man guilty of lusting in his heart. That's backwards. The man has a lustful heart to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many men say, well, how do I conquer this? And the way you conquer this is by having a new heart. The man has a lustful heart to begin with. He's lusting in his heart. Mm-hmm. And because he's lusting in his heart, he looks at that woman that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what's the answer? Some guys say, well, do I just put blinders on and don't go to the mall? You're missing the point if you think that's the issue. The issue is your heart. God wants to change your heart. And when you change your heart, you'll no longer be defeated by looking at women that way. Yes. In fact, Paul said, you know, treat them like sisters, treat them. So it's all about the transformation of the heart. And I think that's what James is reaching for here. You know, he says, you're going to persevere under trial. You're going to be blessed because of it. And you're going to receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And that's the catch right there. Do I love God today? That's the question. Raoul, do you love God today? I mean, do you love Jesus? Do you love the Holy Spirit? Do you love being in his presence? Do you love walking with him? Do you love living in victory? Do you love being able to allow that love to flow through you to other men? Do you love being able to love your wife, your kids, with the love of God instead of your human limited love, which, you know, I mean, we all can look back and see the train wrecks. Do you love God? Because if you love God, that means there's something going on. Your heart has been transformed. He's taken that heart of stone, turned it into a heart of flesh. And that's how we persevere through trials. The trials ultimately are not about whether we're good or bad. The trials are about whether our faith is strong enough in the love of God to carry us through.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. All of those things. Yeah, this is what I love about when we get into the book of James. See what happened? All of a sudden, before you know it, 50 minutes has gone by and just boom, no time flat. But you know what? We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come right back and we're not going to wrap it up. We're going to continue on. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge. that there is no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it. Because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and we are just, you know what, we're not even, I can tell you right now on Friday, we're going to be talking about whether you believe God is tempting you or not. That's where we're going to go here in the book of James, and that's on Friday, though, but right now we are going to just try to put a little wrap on this portion here about being double-minded.
Well, I think as we bring this plane in for a landing this morning, that everybody is going to go through a trial. You're either in one, coming out of one, going into one. This is true across the board for all people in all places at all times. That's just the way life is. And James is saying, listen, when that happens, don't be confused. Consider it pure joy. It may not feel like pure joy, but consider it pure joy. And if you're a mature Christian, you know when you've gone through trials in the past, as you mentioned earlier, you come out on the other side and you do experience the joy because you're able to look back and see what God has done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I love getting into the Word of God because you just it just flies by. Steve was right here. He's ready to keep going. He could go on for probably the rest of the day, and I'd be right there alongside him. You know what? I just thank you for listening today. Let me just pray for all of us that are listening and here in the studio. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity, Father, of being able to bring light into darkness, Father, to hear your truth, Father, to hear your word, Father, to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives. I rebuke the enemy and all his lies and futile attempts to take our brothers out and lead them down the path. May they have discernment and wisdom, Father. We thank you for your love. There is hope, brother, and you are not alone.